Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 16 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Galatians, chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. Galatians 4, verses 16 through 19. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again, until Christ be formed in you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the uplifting presence of the Holy Spirit, the warmth that you have here. Lord, it seems like you have breathed upon us freshly here, and our church is just energized in a new way. Father, there's a dark and lonely world out there. There's a lot of people to reach. Lord, they tell us we can't do it, but we've got a great God. Lord, would you use this group of sinners? Would you use our preacher tonight to empower him, fill us as we listen, so that we could do more for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Short, I have to say this. Every time I see a man who's a bus captain get up to sing a solo, I think, what balance? What balance to sing like that, but yet go out and help reach the poor. But number two, just the fact that he has a voice left. You know anything about the bus route? I mean, goodness, fantastic. Thank you, Brother Short. Tonight, the sermon is called The Pain of Giving Birth. I said this, I announced what my title would be to a group of people, and a pregnant lady in the group said, well, I'm not coming to church. I don't want to hear about it. The pain of giving birth. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. When a woman has a baby, she suffers great pain. There is travail that goes into it. A man speaks frantically into the phone. He says, my wife is pregnant and her contractions are only 2 minutes apart. She's in great pain. Is this her first child? The doctor on the other line inquired. No, you idiot, the man shouts. This is her husband. Now, when a lady gives birth to a baby, there is great travail. Listen to these verses. Genesis 35:16 says, and they journeyed from Bethel. There was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. We see the travail. We see the hard labor, the pain of giving birth. In John 16:21, the Bible says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Again, we see in regard to giving birth the sorrow, and we see the word anguish used there. It's talking about a virtual physical and emotional pain. It is said that a lady enters into the jaws of death to bring forth life. There are the painful contractions, the back pain, the tummy pain, all of it goes along with it. I remember, I forget which one of our children, I had the privilege of going into the delivery room with my wife, with all of our children. I do not know how in the world it happened, but I was holding my wife's hand at a point when she was in labor. She stuck one of my fingers in her mouth and bit down on it during a contraction. I had to be put in the room beside her to get treated for rabies. No. Sorry, hon. Didn't even have that in my notes. But I mean, she bit down on my finger, and I thought, oh my goodness, she thinks she's in pain right now. She needed one, you know, she needed a leather belt. You know, like on Gunsmoke, when somebody get bit by a snake, they put a belt in the mouth and cut that snake bite and suck the poison out and spit it out. You ever get bit by a rattlesnake around me, you can just go ahead and die. I'm not sucking poison into my mouth. You shouldn't have been where the snake was. It's your problem, buddy. But you know that that pain, that excruciating pain with childbirth, when anything is born, there is a suffering, there is a travail that is a part of it. When a country is born, it suffers travail. America, she had to escape. People wanted to escape the bondage of the British. They had to pioneer the land. They had to face the wild. Wild animals, wild Indians, wilderness with no conveniences. Don't you think if you study the story of the people that came over on the Mayflower, you look at the people that had anything to do with the founding of a country or a land, there is tremendous travail. There is tremendous pain that's included. Your salvation was made available to you. That salvation was made available to you through much pain. You say, well, what does that have to do with it? Birth. Birth. For you to be born again, somebody had to suffer travail. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Listen, you think about what he went through to make the new birth available to you. The nails in his hands, the nails in his feet. Beaten with a cat of nine tails, a spear in his side, a crown of thorns on his head, on his brow. Why? So you could be born again. Anytime something is born, there is travail. Pain comes when giving life to anything. There's an old saying, we used to use it athletically, no pain, no gain. And that's the way it is. There is pain when something's going to be born. The word travail is made, the word travail is used and referred to many, many times in the scripture. The word travail is used most frequently in the scripture in regard to labor pains, the giving of birth. Travail means that pain of bringing forth life or bringing forth something new. You like this? A couple go to their very first prenatal class. The husband is told that he has to wear on his tummy a big bag of sand so he has an idea of what it feels like to be pregnant. The husband puts it on. He stands up saying, well, that doesn't feel so bad. The instructor then drops an ink pen and asks the husband to pick it up. You want me to pick up that pen as if I were pregnant the way my wife would do it? Asked the husband. Exactly, replied the instructor. The husband turns to his wife and says, honey, can you pick that up for me? I'm not feeling well. Tonight, I'll be very simple. I'll be very, very practical. Many churches would not need a sermon like this because they're not birthing new things. Our church is not dead. Our church is not satisfied with that which has already been born. We're trying to birth new things for the cause of Christ. Look, folks, if churches don't start birthing new things, Christianity is going to be a thing of the past. We have got to birth new things. But you must know, if there is going to be birth, there is going to be travail. There is labor pains. Let me say, first of all, there is travail in giving birth to new Sunday school classes. 1 Thessalonians 2:9 says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. Paul here uses the word travail. Paul suffered travail in building these people. And that's what Sunday school does. It builds people. You around here, as you know, we started dozens and dozens and dozens of new Sunday school classes. But there's travail. There's labor. Every time we start classes, we've got to get adjusted. I mean, there are new bumps in the road. Folks, there's no way around it. I try very hard to keep our church organized. I try to train us and I try to have everything in its place. But you just have to understand something. If we're going to birth new Sunday school classes, there'll be a little chaos. There'll be a little pain. There'll be a little pressure involved when that happens. I mean, there's coming a day. We're trying to get our new building finished up so we can put a dozen Sunday school classes in the basement. But there's travail. There's pain. It doesn't come easy. When you pioneer a new Sunday school class, let me tell you this, it'll be quite challenging. I was thinking, Brother Ryan Marsh, our youth pastor, he is starting a new adult Sunday school class. It's for any age adults, and it's, I think, Brother Marsh, it's called the Living for Jesus class. Is that right? They're going to meet here in the auditorium. Now, we already have one class in the auditorium, and I'll apologize for that one class that's here, but I can't figure out where else to put a class, and so I'm going to put another class in this auditorium. I'm not going to let the absence of space keep me from reaching people. If we've got to put tents on the property, we'll put tents on the property, but I want to keep on going for Jesus. And so, now, let me explain. That Sunday school class that Brother Marsh is starting is next week. But anybody here that's ever started from nothing an adult Sunday school class will tell you it's painful. It's scary. There's some travail involved. You sit on pins and needles the Sunday morning of wondering, is anybody going to show up at all? Oh, I remember when I started my Sunday school class back when Dr. Hiles was alive, he asked me to start a couples class. I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. That very first Sunday, I was petrified. Is anybody going to show up? Mrs. Owens, she had to come. I had a license for her. She had to show up. But I wasn't sure anybody was going to come. Thank God. Thank God. There were 12 other people that came. And that Sunday we had 14. There was travail. There was travail. And there's travail when you start new Sunday school classes. Now, it's not easy. We ask, will anybody show up? Will there be pressure? Folks, with new Sunday school classes, there's a little confusion here and there. But let me tell you something. It's worth it. It's worth it. We're reaching more people. There are more people learning to teach the Word of God and more people learning the Word of God. But let me tell you, there is travail in giving birth to new Sunday school classes. But not only that, there is travail in giving birth to new bus routes. Yes, sir. John 16:21, it says, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into this world. Notice the word travail. And then that travail is followed with joy. That's how it always is. You start a new bus route, it's very hard at first. But let me tell you something. Once you get it going, once you paid the price, the labor pain, once you paid the price of the travail, there's great joy because now you're seeing life. You're seeing life of those bus riders getting born again and their lives being changed. But let me tell you something, folks. There are not a lot of people out there that spiritually are willing to pay the price of the pain and the labor of birthing something new. But there's labor involved in starting new bus routes. There's labor involved. Brother Andrew Logue, Brother Aaron Baxter, getting ready to start a couple of new bus routes for us. We recently split another bus route. Thank God for it. But let me tell you, those of you that are starting bus routes from zero, from scratch, it's hard. You're going to pioneer it. You're going out to people that don't know anything about you much. And, hey, finding brand new people. And let me tell you something, folks. When you're birthing new ministries, you're birthing new people. Get ready for an increase of new converts around the church. Oh, but you got to find those brand new people. And they're brand new for the Lord and they're brand new for the church. And hey, let me tell you, those of you that are starting new Sunday school classes and those of you that are starting new bus routes, you're going to stand up and say, hey, let's sing a bus song. And they're all going to look at you like, what's a bus song? Let's sing, the wheels on the bus go round and round. And you're going to sing solo for the first 3 weeks. They're all going to just stare at you. Yeah, you say, oh, it's painful. It's embarrassing. Stand up here and try to sing a song with people that don't know the song. You're right. You're right. But it is a labor pain that you must go through to birth something. Hey, listen, they won't know the bus songs. They won't know anything much about church. They won't know how. Hey, those new Sunday school people in that new Sunday school class, those new people on that bus route, they're going to know anything much about anything. You, those of you that start new bus routes, you can't drop them off out here at the church and say, go find your Sunday school class. They don't know where their Sunday school class is. You may never see them again. We may lose them forever if you dump them off and say, go find your Sunday school class. There are nearly 80 Sunday school classes at this church. And so what is it? Oh, it's the labor pain. It's the pain. Look, there's a little bit of pain that we experience by starting new bus routes. Those of you that are bus mechanics. Yeah, we did it to you. We got some more buses. Oh, we've got more. We have more tires where we must check the air pressure. We've got more engines that need the oil change. We've got more drivers out there running over mailboxes on a regular basis. labor pain, the travail, it's there. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. We live in a generation, even of churches, they don't want labor pain. They want therefore and no more. They want their air conditioning. They want their padded pews. They want everything to be in its place. And we don't want to have to pay a price. We don't want to have to pay the price of going forward. We don't want to give birth to anything new. But let me tell you something. All the way through the Bible, we are taught to give birth. We're to keep on moving forward. And so, a new Sunday school class, it takes travail. A new bus route takes travail. Hey, number three, there's travail in giving birth to any new ministry. Any ministry. Micah chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Let me read this to you. It says, "Now, why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth." It says, be in pain and labor to bring forth. I'll tell y'all something. I have enough to oversee. And it's a little painful as a leader to bring forth more. But the Bible says, be in pain and labor. Jeff Owens needs to push Jeff Owens to new heights of leadership. Jeff Owens needs, no matter how painful it is, Jeff Owens needs to help our church keep birthing for the next generation. We've got to keep going. I don't want to go backwards. I'm not looking for less. I'm looking for more. What? That's what the Bible teaches. I'm not supposed to go backwards. I'm supposed to go forward. I'm not supposed to go down. I'm supposed to go up. I'm not supposed to slow down. I'm supposed to speed up. I'm to get more done. Now listen to me. We're to give birth. We're to give birth. Hey, you take to start a church. It takes travail. We help start churches. It takes travail. It's hard. I personally think one of the hardest things you'll do in Christianity is go start a new church. We've got some men around here that have birthed new churches. They'll tell you it's a hard thing to do. A missionary that goes to the field, like some of our missionaries have left our pews and now on the field. It's hard. They're giving birth to a brand new work. It's painful. It's hard. It's stressful. I remember when we started our new special needs Sunday school classes. It was a challenge. I mean, we started one for children, then we started one for teenagers, and we started one for our men, and we already had our ladies class, but hey, there's travail in it. You take our Hearts for Missions ministry. Oh, you grow, you learn. There's travail in starting anything new. Please remember, any time we give birth to new things, we'll feel the pain and the discomfort of its birth. Anytime. Anytime you say, well, that right over there is out of order. In some cases, it may be something that's been birthed, that's going through the growing pains. It's something that is suffering travail. Churches are supposed to suffer travail. Churches are supposed to be birthing new things to reach people. So may I say then, with a new Sunday school class, there's travail. And in a bus route, new bus routes, there's travail. In any new ministry that started for a church, there's travail. Hey, some of you who are starting businesses, there is travail in starting a new business. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, "I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." You all remember back, it's been a few years ago now, you remember back when the banks almost collapsed? We thought for sure they were going to collapse, you know, within 24 hours. People were all panicked, and the money markets across the entire world were all just wavering, and we just wondered what was going to happen. I got on the phone that very week, and I called my dear friend, Dr. Russell Anderson. I called Dr. Anderson. I said, "Brother Anderson, I need you to talk to me just a little bit. You're a man with many years of experience. You understand money. And I mean, he understands big money. He's given nearly $40 million to the cause of Christ. A very successful, godly businessman." I said, "Dr. Anderson, talk to me." We talked for a little while about the economy. We talked about the economy, and he told me about the Great Depression, and he told me about the Jimmy Carter era that transformed into the Ronald Reagan era, and he began to teach me an economy lesson. He talked to me about the church. One of the things he said to me, he said, "Brother Owens, you just remember, we don't function off this world's economy. We function off of a heavenly economy. Don't you stop." He said, "I'll give you some advice about a couple of things, and we've done it. I'm glad that we've done what we've done around here. Our church has remained strong during all these economic times." I was telling you back when everything was booming in our county and our state that we were fine financially. I'm back to tell you today, while things have not been fine economically in the nation, we have kept paying our bills here at the church. And all of you have watched it, have it. You've not watched my attitude change about God blessing our church financially at all. Why? Because when the tough time came, there were a few things that I did to fine tune things. But one of the things that Dr. Anderson said to me is this. He said, did you know that there were more millionaires born in the Great Depression era than any other time in the history of the United States of America? And I don't mean physically born, birth from their mother. What I mean is, he said there were more young businessmen and companies that were born out of dire need than any other time. He said, matter of fact, you started breaking up some of the fat, sloppy monopolies at that time, and things started shutting down that had become overpowering in the nation. They started starting little businesses all over the place, and those little businesses are the ones that have grown into the big businesses today, and they were birthed at the difficult time of the Great Depression. I thought, he's brilliant. And if you're seeing it, there are people starting businesses. There are people that are getting they're getting some ingenuity about them, trying to figure out, how do you make money when the big corporation can't hire you anymore? Right. Let me say to all of you, those of you that start businesses, and I've got a good handful of men in our church that are starting businesses. I'm not counseling you whether you should or you should not, but let me say to you, if you are starting a business, let me say that there will be struggle. There is difficulty. There is that difficulty, that pain of building up the client base. There is that pain of learning new things and that pain of learning how to do it and how not to do it. You'll have to learn by your mistakes. And folks, let me tell you something. If it were easy to own and run your own business, everybody would be doing it. But there's pain involved in it. Learning the tax system, you talk about pain. Labor. Pain. But the people that have built the businesses that have become the major businesses that contribute to their society financially, those are people that paid the price of the labor pains to birth the business. So if you don't think it's going to be easy, and so if you want to birth something, if you're birthing a business, you need to know it's going to be painful. It's going to be more painful than going to work for somebody else and letting them pay your paycheck. That's just all there is to it. Somebody else that owned a business paid the price of the labor pain. Now, if you're going to start a business, you must pay the price. You must travail over your business. You must suffer the pressure. You must suffer the backache. You must suffer the hard time. Let me say, number five, there is travail in your new birth and the lifestyle it will bring. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Let me explain something. When you got born again, God wants you to launch into a new life in Christ Jesus. Salvation gave you a new destiny called heaven. Salvation also gives you a new lease on life where you can begin to live for God, but it is a new life in Christ Jesus. Your old life is to pass away, and behold, all things are to become new in your new lifestyle. Now listen to me, new Christian. We got a bunch of people in here, you've just gotten saved, and you've started coming to the church in the last year or so, maybe the last many, many months. Let me tell you something. If you're a new Christian, please know that your new life in Christ Jesus is a great one, but the devil will oppose you. The devil's going to oppose you. And there are new things for you to learn. And so you know, at just like anything else that has been birthed, there is going to be pain in birthing your new life in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is the one that suffered the pain to help get you born again. But now your new life in Christ is going to cost you something. You're going to go through some travail as you transform your life for Christ Jesus. You're going to go through some pressure. You're going to go through some pain. You're going to face some spiritual backache. That's what's going to happen to you. Hey, there are some old habits that you have that I'm going to preach on, and you're going to look at those habits and say, oh my, he is preaching right at me. He has come to our house and looked in our windows. He knows about me. No, I don't know about you, but God God knows about you. And you say, oh, it is so hard. I went, and the first time I heard the preacher, he was preaching lovey-dovey and love of God. And then I went back that Sunday night, and he had gone through a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. That night, he was all wound up. He was yelling. He was screaming. He was talking about things I do every day of my life and calling them sin. Oh, it hurts. There will be labor in the development of your new life in Christ. You will pay a price. There are old habits that you're going to need to change. There will be pain in your growth. Did you know your new life in Christ will cost you something? And I'm not just talking about your tithe. No. We're going to tell you, you need to get rid of some music that's bad for you. You say, I bought that with my hard-earned money. I know. It's going to cost you something. You're going to need to throw it away and get some new music. We're going to tell you there's some clothes that are not right for you. You're going to need to throw them away and get new ones. We're going to, you know what the Bible is going to say to you? The Bible is going to say to you, there are some things that you need to change about you. Some of the books that you read, some of the things that you do. And you're going to say, oh, it hurts. Yes, indeed, it hurts. But it's a part of being birthed into your new lifestyle in Christ Jesus. You see, there is travail in your new life of Christ Jesus. I got saved when I was a 16-year-old boy. I had some things that needed to change about me, and they were not all pleasant. There were some things that when the preacher got up and preached on them, I said, oh, that hurts. They used to talk about wearing steel-toed boots to church. I could not figure out what they were talking about. Somebody said, wear your steel-toed boots tonight. The preacher's going to throw a fit. I thought, we have to wear steel-toed boots to church? I was going around looking at men's shoes thinking, those got steel toes? Then I came that night, and the preacher was up there stomping all over things. And I thought, now I see what they mean. I didn't need steel-toed boots. I needed steel-toed breeches because he was kicking me in the seat of the pants. Now listen to me. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you're going to go through a travail. Yes, sir. Growing in Christ, there is some pain. A young man that was here in our church, he came to see me. Him and his mom came to see me and said, my son's in a lot of pain. And we wondered if he's got a disease or something. And this is what we did. He ended up going to a specialist, and the specialist said, all it is growing pains. Let me tell you. We know that children grow, and there are pains when a lady is growing in that birthing process. It's uncomfortable. But if you're a new Christian and you're going to grow in the Lord, there will be some labor. There will be some travail. You see, if you're giving birth to new Sunday school classes, there'll be travail. If you're giving birth to new bus routes, there will be travail. If you're giving birth to any ministries for Christ, there will be travail. If you're giving birth to a new business, there is travail. If you give birth, if you're new in the Christian life and you're changing these things for Christ, there is travail. Listen, there is travail in giving birth to a Bible college. Yes, sir. The Bible says in Isaiah 23:4, it says, be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea has spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. Now, let me explain something to you. One of the reasons why we want to have a Bible college is to train young men and young women to help save our country. We want to train them. We want to give them a protected place out of the secular environment where they can get a Bible college degree and training. We want them to learn. We want a college that can teach them how to give birth. We want young people to know, teenagers that grow up and that want to serve Christ and go out into the ministry. We want them to go out and to be able to start bus routes and Sunday school classes and all of those wonderful things. Now, let me tell you something, though. You give birth to something like a Bible college, there's travail. We have a dormitory project. There's travail. People working and laboring. I was thinking the other day, one of our newer families, Brother McFarland back here, lost a leg in an accident years ago. Walked over, seen him in the basement, up on scaffolding with one leg. Travail. Some pain, some sacrifice. But to do what? We're giving birth to a Bible college. Oh my, you would not believe the amount of work that goes into the starting our college. Starting from nothing means all the classes have to be developed. All the curriculums have to be all have to be pulled together. And I'm not taking them from all the liberal colleges all over the nation. We're going to make sure everything is doctrinally correct. We're going to make sure we're not trying to pattern ourselves after a secular college. We're a Bible college. You have to get used to it. It's a Bible college. It belongs to our church. We're going to be gathering, and then the gathering of students and the growing of the staff and the challenge of it all and the schedule. It'll be inconvenient sometimes. You say, if it's not convenient, I don't want anything to do with it. Then you're not going to be around things that are birthing. The church family will need to adjust to college students. College age young people are not always as smart and seasoned as what we wish that they were. There is the giving birth, and there is labor involved anytime you're giving birth. Boy, I was teaching in Bible college. We had a couple dumb freshmen that decided somebody had gotten up in chapel and they preached about how Jesus was not on the cross. And you ought to take him down off the cross. He shouldn't still be on the cross. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, and I know that he's living no matter what men may say. He lives! He lives! Somebody preached aloud and thundered aloud and said, Jesus shouldn't be hanging on that cross. He's a resurrected Savior. A couple dumb freshmen went out. There was a great big Catholic monastery, and in the middle of a lake, there was a Jesus hanging on a cross with big floodlights on. These two stupid freshmen went out, cut him off the cross, put him in a boat, floated him across the river, and let him free. They got in trouble by the police. They got in trouble by the college. We didn't intend for you to go out and find all the Jesuses and cut them off the crosses at all the Catholic churches, you dumb bunny. College students are not always real smart. That's why they're in college. And you'll find, you're going to find as a college is being birthed, there's going to be labor pains. There's some that are not willing to pay the price to birth something. And those of you that have never started anything, you won't understand it. If you're not careful, you'll criticize it. You ever started a church? You ever started a Sunday school class? You ever started something? It has been my place to start many, many different things, and there's a lot of labor pain. Oh, boy, hey, people that are starting things can get criticized by the people that don't know anything about it. They can say, well, I wouldn't do it that way, and I wouldn't do it that way. You know what? Maybe I ought to cut you a chunk off somewhere and let you go start something. Show me what you're made of. We'll just find out what you can do. If you're so hot, let's get you a church. You're so smart. We'll go find you a place where there is no church. We'll send you out there and let you start one. He said, well, where would I get my money? Where everybody else gets their money in the ministry? Let me say, there is pain. There are labor pains when things grow. And I'm not glad for the pain, but it is a part of the process. So there's travail in starting a college. Let me say this. Number 7, there is travail in growing new leaders. Birthing new leaders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 8 says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Here Paul is talking, Paul is speaking, and he travailed as a leader to have good testimony among the people. Now folks, those of you that are young in your leadership in the church, you're stepping up and you're getting responsibilities. Let me tell you something. Some of you that used to sit in the pew, now you're starting to get involved. You're becoming bus captains, bus workers, nursery workers. You're becoming Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers and greeters. Let me tell you something. There's a little travail as you're birthing into leadership. It's not always easy. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to do some dumb things. Hang in there. Don't quit. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody started somewhere. Sometimes you're going to say, oh, preacher, hey, I got a chance to do a little leading and I hurt things instead of helped them. Look, if your heart's sincere, you just hang in there. Everybody hurts things a little bit when they're learning leadership. Everybody does. That's normal. There is travail for the individual that is growing into leadership. Now, if you become arrogant or if you have the wrong attitude about it, you don't care that you're hurting people, you're not ready for leadership. But if in your leadership, in its infancy, you make some mistakes and you hurt some people, God understands, your pastor understands, and anybody in the church that has any common sense, they understand too. Because there is travail in birthing. If you're being birthed into leadership, you're growing in your leadership is going to happen. Hey, not only do you suffer when you're becoming a leader, but others around you may suffer. Let me say to everybody here, church, we must let young leadership develop. Those of you in this church that you take all the young leaders around here and you compare them to me all the time, that's not fair to them. You say, well, that's not exactly what the preacher would do. Let me explain something to you. They must grow. They've got to grow. So were you suddenly a finished product? Shall we take your mentors and compare you to your mentors? My leaders are sincere. They're not perfect, but they're sincere. And if you have not noticed, I let the leaders of the church grow. They have to grow. None of them are finished products. And if you're not careful, though, you will squelch them and destroy them as you nitpick. And you just constantly, they're not what I want them to be. They're not what I want them to be. They're not what I want them to be. They're not what I expect them to be. Look, leaders have to grow. And when you're developing new leaders, there is a birthing process and there is a pain that comes. Are you a leader abortionist? You abort new leaders before they really get to grow into the life of the leader that they intended to be. I see it happen all the time. I see it happen. Now, the leaders around here, if you know me, all the leaders around here, you know, I'll be patient with you and I'll let you grow. I'll let you make mistakes. You, as long as your heart's sincere and you're trying to do the right thing, we can take the bumps that we face as leaders are growing. But folks, if we can't tolerate growth in leadership, who's going to lead the next generation? So there is pain when you're birthing young leaders. Let me say also, there is travail in growing new converts. There's travail. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Hey, listen, when we're seeing new people get born again, may I say to you, when they come to our church, they're going to behave in a worldly way. And so, you know, I have 10 times more tolerance for the new teenagers that come in our church that don't know what they're supposed to do than the ones that do know what they're supposed to do who won't do it. And they're acting out of rebellion. There's a big difference. But when we're birthing new Christians, we see a lot of people saved around here. What does that mean? Well, they've been out in the world. They get born again. Then they come into the church. They're going to behave worldly. Why? They spent their whole life in the world. They don't know any better. If you're not careful, though, there's some of you, you'll look at some of these new people coming into the church and say, well, I declare. Well, you've not always been perfect, buddy. And they've got to start somewhere. And so, hey, look, I don't have any problem with all the new people coming into the church and not knowing exactly what to do and how to behave and how to look. They've got to start somewhere. They've got to have that. There's going to be misbehavior in the church services. Can you all tell that we have an insurgence of new Christians in the last year? I'm about to pull my hair out. Every time I turn around, there are telephones going off. There are people getting up, walking out, coming in, sitting down, walking all the way to the front row to sit down. When they could have walked, they could have sat in the back. And then they're learning. They're learning. I'll be preaching along and I'll hear somebody say to somebody beside them, I like that right there, but I didn't like that other thing he said. I'm thinking, you really shouldn't talk that loud while we're having church here. And some of you are looking at some of these new people, you're going, whoa, they're going the wrong direction. He's going to nail them. You know something? I have a whole lot more patience with those new ones than the old ones that know better. But what's happening? We're birthing new Christians. Some of you that think the church is supposed to be a museum, we have all these artifacts that are all cleaned up and they're of great value. No, this is not a museum. It's a hospital. It's a hospital. And we're birthing new babies and we have some sick ones that come in. And as long as I'm the pastor, it's going to stay a hospital. And I'm here to say, look, when new people are coming in, there's a process. Look, we're going to have all sorts of people in the next 4 weeks who are going to come to our church. They will cause some chaos. But brother Stoltz and brother Berman, I'll assure you, if you plant any flowers before the spring program, they will not be rooted, grounded, and growing. They'll be plucked up and stomped on. Because we will have bus kids that will walk straight through the flowers. We will have people that in the following weeks will say and do and behave in ways where you're going to want to take them and shake them. Let's give them a little while. We'll take them and shake them later when they're being rebellious, when they know better and they're doing wrong. But while they don't know better, we're going to try to groom them and grow them. That's what Christianity is all about. There are going to be people that are going to say amen at the strategic wrong time. You know how it is. But that's a part. Look, when you are giving birth, there is pain, there's labor. Now, I pretty well, we keep a handle on our services. We're not trying to be dignified. We're trying to be appropriate. We're trying to handle it right. I'll try, and I try to keep everything calm. But if some of you are not careful, you'll say, hey, if I go down to the church and there's a little bit of chaos, I've just had it with the church. If you can go to a church where there is no chaos, you're going to go to a church where there are new converts. Because if there are new converts, there is a new lifestyle that they must learn. And so once you find that place, now you might find everybody there as clean as an old hound's tooth, but you're also going to find out they're all old and dying because there is nothing new there. And folks, as long as we're going to have the new birthing, guess what? Let me tell you what's going to happen to you if we're birthing new Christians. Somebody's going to come into church and sit in your pew. Somebody had the audacity to walk into this church and sit in the pew that you have sat in for all these years. And you will miss a whole sermon while you're stewing about that. Somebody is going to have the courage, the intestinal fortitude, which is a big word for guts. They're going to have the guts to park in your spot in the parking lot. Can you believe that somebody would dare to do that? It's going to inconvenience you. You know what else is going to inconvenience you? We're going to have altar calls where people actually come to them. Y'all ever been to any churches? I'm talking about altar calls where sometimes it takes 15, 20, and 30 minutes to call all the names, get everybody saved, and put them in the baptistry. That's inconvenient. I needed to get out to Heatherfields. What kind of church you want? I get the impression we want an old-time religion church. Do you want me to try to figure out a way to keep people from making decisions? Other churches have figured it out. I could go there and get trained. I could figure out how we wouldn't have people baptized. I could figure out how we would have an empty parking lot. I could figure out how to get the pews empty. We could knock the spirit out of this thing if you want. We could continue an old-fashioned revival by giving birth and paying the price. Because there is labor in giving birth to anything. I don't know why it is, but so many times in my life, I started a ministry called the Bible Club Ministry. I started with 17 people. We had over 400 workers when we were done. I started a bus ministry that we reached thousands of people in. I started a Sunday school class from nothing. I get to start our college from nothing. I don't know why. I don't inherit a lot in life. But I understand something about starting things. There is a price to pay. There is labor. Listen, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I think God uses churches in a big way that are willing to pay the price and go through the labor pains. In the last 10 years, we've been facing our labor pains. I think you're seeing a birthing of a new level of what God's going to do in our church. We hung in there. We paid the price of the pain, of the labor, and the stress, and the pressure of it all. And the Bible says when you pay the price and you go through the labor, you'll forget about the labor pains because of the result of the joy of birthing. Moms, you know what that means. Oh, the excruciating pain to give birth, but the minute you get to hold that baby in your arms, you forget about the pain, and somehow the birthing has been worth it all. Folks, the birthing will be worth it all. We must just in this life pay the price of the labor pains. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we want to welcome you to the Savior. You come and get born again. There's some people in here. You've not done well with the labor pains. You have struggled. You've almost fought against them. I had someone say, I don't like our church. I don't like the growth in it. Yeah, you don't like the labor pains is what you don't like. You don't like the labor pains. You may need the altar tonight. Some of you that are starting new things, some of you, there are business people here. There's some of you that have started new families. You're a young married couple. Let me tell you, there's going to be some labor pains. You're going to have to adjust to each other. You might need the altar. There are people here, you're launching. You're wanting to birth your life as a soul winner, and you're scared to death, and you feel pressure, and you ache all over spiritually because you're trying to learn to be a soul winner. You're going to have to go through the labor pains. But I'll promise you, when you start birthing new Christians, it'll be worth your while. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart tonight. God has spoken to my heart. There's something about this sermon that's helped me in an exceptional way. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God sees your hand. If you need the altar tonight, we welcome you to it. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play.